Well, we're preaching tonight on forgiveness. So go to Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 21, Matthew 18, verse 21. And you've heard this story before. I'll read it and we'll use it to jump right in. There's a lot in the Bible about forgiveness. It's hard for some of us. Maybe you've known somebody like this. Probably not you, and I'm sure nobody in this room. But you've probably known somebody like this that it seems like somebody did something to hurt them at some point, and that is what motivates them to live. And the fact that they're refusing to forgive that person, they wake up bitter, they stay bitter, and it's like their reason for living is to be angry and upset at somebody that offended them at some point. Forgiveness. I want to teach on it tonight. I want to preach about it. It's an amazing thing. Why should we forgive? Well, the same reason why we should love, the same reason why we should give, because God forgave us. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21, the Bible says this, "Then came Peter to him," he came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And I could just imagine Peter's thought here was, here, I'm gonna make myself look good. I don't know this is what he's thinking. Maybe it's because this is what I would have been thinking, all right? I'm kind of telling on myself here a little bit. Peter comes to Jesus, and he says, "Lord, let me ask you a question. If my brother, Peter, it would have been Andrew. If my brother, maybe he's talking about Andrew, maybe he's talking about one of his brothers in Christ, one of the disciples. But if my brother, if he comes and he sins against me, he does something to me, and I forgive him, how many times should I forgive him?" He could have left it at that. How many times should I forgive him? But then he added this. He said, "Seven times?" Almost as if Jesus would say, "Whoa, seven times? I mean, that's really good. To forgive somebody just once is kind of tough, but to forgive them seven times, maybe the reason I think that is because that's probably what I would have done. Maybe in my arrogance or my immaturity or pride or something like that, come to Jesus and say, "You know, I'm getting this disciple thing pretty good. I'm getting the hang of this thing, and I'm realizing that you're expecting more of us than what we expect of ourselves sometimes. So if he sins against me and I forgive him seven times, is that good?" And then Jesus' answer just blows him out of the water. Verse 22, "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." If you do the quick math in your head, you do the seven times the seven, that's 49, you add a zero. 490 times is what Jesus is saying. And that's not even anywhere close to what Peter was thinking. I mean, it's not even comparable, it's on a different chart. Jesus is saying, you forgive them and forgive them and forgive them and forgive them. And he says in verse 23, he gives us this story. "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." Keep track of these numbers here, okay? 10,000 talents. That's a lot of talents. I wrote down the number here. One talent would be about 6,000 denarii. All right? One denarii would be about one day's wages. So he's got about 6,000 days worth times, what did I say, 10,000. Six, that's a lot of days. Or let's just go with that. There's a lot of money. He's not talking about $100 or $200. This is a large amount that this man, he owes the king. It's a story. It's a parable. Jesus is telling us, help us to understand this truth. He began reckoning, counting, and figuring out who owes him things. When he began to reckon, one was brought to him that owed him 10,000 talents, but forasmuch, verse 25, but forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. This is harsh. But the servant, verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. The servant comes to the king. He probably got this eviction notice, and beyond just that, it was I'm going to sell you, I'm going to sell all your family, and I'm going to use the money that I make to help pay your debt. Very common practice, not now, but at least in our country, not too long ago, this was a common practice, and you've heard of debtors' prisons. So this man, he comes to the king. When he comes to the king, he bows down before the king, and he says, "I don't have the money to pay you this." Verse number 26, and he said, "Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. There's our key word right there, and forgave him the debt. That doesn't mean that he just gave him more time to pay off the debt. 10,000 times, it was 10,000 times 6,000 days' wages. That's a lot of money. I don't know what a day's wage would have been, but he forgave it. It wasn't just the servant asked for more time. "Have patience with me and I'll pay it off, please." The king says, "I will forgive you of all of it." What a great picture of our Savior. There's no way we could pay for our sins. There's no way we can pay the debt against us. The record of our sins is so great. There's no way you and I could pay this. If we took our entire lifetime asking God for patience for us to pay our debt, there's no way we could pay this. But the king forgave all of it. And God forgave all of your sin when Jesus paid for it when he died on the cross. But, verse number 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants. Now notice this. He just got mercy from the king. Now he's going to a fellow servant, somebody that was his equal, somebody he had no authority over, but a fellow servant which owed him 100 pence, a very small amount of money compared to the 10,000 talents. Not even pocket change compared to the 10,000 talents. He finds this servant, this fellow servant, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Can you just picture this story? It's just mind-blowing. He takes him by the throat and he says, let me get it just exactly right, he says, "Pay me that thou owest." Took him by the throat. We got a problem here. We've got a man who was forgiven of so much he couldn't pay back. And then he comes to one of his fellow servants, a person just like him, who owes him just a very little bit. And he takes him by the throat and he says, "Pay me what you owe me." And his fellow servant fell down on his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me and I will pay thee all." Does that sound familiar to anybody? What's the same thing this servant had just asked the king? It's almost the exact same words. "Have patience with me and I'll pay you all of it." But look what he did. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, I've never figured this out, how you're supposed to pay a debt off when you're in prison. I don't know the answer to how you're supposed to do this. It's just not going to be possible. Verse 31, so when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. What's the lesson here? We're supposed to forgive others. Why? Because God forgave us. I'm going to give you a whole lot of thoughts about forgiveness. You've got a handout. There's a lot of blanks in there. Why must I forgive? Because, first of all, I have been forgiven. Lots of Bible for this one. 1 John 2:12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. What a great reason to forgive. I can forgive you. I can forgive others because I have been forgiven. God's forgiven you. There's no need to not forgive somebody else. In fact, I'm commanded to forgive. And the reason I can is because I've been forgiven. Psalm 86:5, the Bible says, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why must I forgive? First of all, because I've been forgiven. Now, this may not be a huge life-changing message for you right now, but one day it will be. Because one day somebody's going to offend you, somebody's going to do something to you, and the Bible word I believe would be a fraud, defraud. The Bible uses the word offend as well. But somebody's going to do something, and you're going to feel like I have a just cause to hold a grudge against that person. I have a just cause to go out for vengeance against that person, to not forgive that person, to shun that person, to keep them out of my life. I've got a good reason to do it. That may happen. I say may, it's going to happen, but I want you to realize God has commanded us to forgive. Why must I forgive? First of all, I've been commanded, and second, because God commands me. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, some of you may have memorized this verse. I remember learning this verse as a song when I was little. How many of y'all learned this verse as a song? Don't worry, I'm not going to make you come up here and sing it, but I learned this as a song, and it helped me to remember this verse. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, but what are those next three words? Forgiving one another. This is a command. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Two verses there. Because God commands me to forgive. You don't have to forgive because you want to forgive. I taught a lesson this morning to our junior hires on obedience. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It doesn't say children obey your parents if they go to church, or children obey your parents if they're Christians, or children obey your parents if they're good. There's no qualifications except the fact that you're a child and you have a parent. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And in this case, there's no qualifications. It doesn't say forgive others if they forgive you. It doesn't say forgive others if they show that they're sorry enough for what they did. It just says forgive them because God forgave us. So here's the question, how do I forgive? This is tough. How do I forgive? First of all, it's a decision. Make a decision to settle your account. Make a decision. Love's a decision. Gloria Gaither and Bill Gaither, they were talking on, this would have been back in the 70s probably. I heard a recording of it later on. They were talking about falling in love. And they were talking about him, and she was saying that some of the love songs, it sounds like, you know, you're just kind of walking along one day, and you're walking along the sidewalk, and you fall in an open manhole. It's just kind of falling in love. It just kind of happens. And Bill's in the background, and he said, yeah, and you end up in the sewer that way too. See, that's how a lot of people think love is. It's just something that kind of happens, and oh, I'm in love. No, love's a decision. You decide, I'm going to love. Good times, bad times. I'm getting ready for a couple weddings coming up in the next couple weeks, and teaching just love is a decision, and you make those vows to have and to hold the love and the cherish from this day forward, through better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, through sickness and in health, till death do us part. It's a decision. You make that decision, and just like love is a decision, forgiveness is a decision. Make a decision to settle your account. I'll give you some thoughts about that. Realize, first of all, that Jesus Christ settled your account. When he went to the cross, he settled your account. If Jesus was like us, he could hold a lot of bitterness towards us. We're the one that caused him pain. We're the one that sinned against him. We are the reason he went to the cross, but he went to the cross, and when he did that, he settled the account. What are some of the things that he said? The Bible says he looked down from the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. From the cross, forgiving those people that were there, forgiving us. Jesus Christ settled your account. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, and he, talking about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, the word propitiation is not payment. Payment is part of propitiation, but it's different. Many of the new translations will say that Jesus is the payment for our sins. And that's part of it, but propitiation is a different word than that. It's not a word that we will use. Most of us haven't used this word in general conversation probably in the last couple days. It's not a common word that we would use. Let me explain it to you. Propitiation is the act of appeasing wrath and winning the favor of an offended person. There's more to it than just payment. It's not just Jesus, he is the payment for our sins. It's he is the propitiation. That means he appeased the wrath of God and he won the favor of the offended person. Who was the offended person? The offended person was God. Jesus did more than just pay for our sins. He is more than just the payment for our sins. He appeased the wrath of God by making the payment for our sins. He won the favor of God for us. Payment's only part of it. He paid the price for our sins, but he also absorbed the full wrath of God. God turned his back on him, and Jesus said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And he bore the full brunt of the wrath of God, and he absorbed the wrath of God. And he also, not only did he pay for our sins, not only did he absorb the wrath of God or appease the wrath of God, but he also made it possible for God to show kindness towards us. There's a lot that happened on that cross, and Jesus Christ did that for us. He settled the account at the cross. John 2:12, the Bible says, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." How do I forgive? Well, I make a decision to settle the account. It's a decision. I realize that Jesus Christ settled my account. And then third, have compassion on the offender as Christ did when he forgave us. Now, this is easier to say than to do. Have compassion on who? The offender. That's the person that hurt you. This is the person that was wrong towards you. This is the person that said those mean words or did that nasty thing. This is the person that cut you off in traffic. This is that person, whatever it was they did, they are the offender. Have compassion on the offender. We read the story in Matthew 18:27. "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion." Wait a minute. The king is the Lord of that servant. The servant owes the king 10,000 talents. And the king is moved with compassion towards the servant. The love that he has towards his servant, it overpowers his desire for payment. And he has compassion on that servant. This is where the Spirit of God has to come in. You remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? For the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. It's hard to have compassion on someone that offends you. Jesus had compassion towards us. God's compassion was evident from the cross. In the parable, the king has compassion on the offender. How can I forgive? Well, I can make a decision to settle the account. I can realize that Jesus already settled my account. I have compassion on the offender. Think about this for a moment. I'm about to move on, but when somebody hurts you on purpose, there's a hurt down deep somewhere in them. There's an inside hurt there somewhere. So many times if they're pushing you down, it's because they feel small and there's a hurt inside. And when you realize the hurting person that's hiding behind this ugly meme, this facade that they have, it's easier to have compassion on that person. But I've got to say this. We sang living, we talk about living by grace. I mentioned that. We sang a song about that. That's really where it's got to come from. I can't have compassion in my own power on somebody that offends me. If you ask me what I think, and what I want to do, it's back what they did to me except worse. So they don't do it back to me again. That's what I want to do. That's what my flesh wants to do. But the grace of God, the Spirit of God, and through the power of God, I can respond towards them the way Christ would respond toward them instead of the way I want to respond toward them. Did I lose you right there? It's not gonna be you. You can't do this on your own. It's got to be by the grace of God, the Spirit of God working through you, where you can say, I really feel sorry for this person. I have compassion on this person. I'm going to pray for this person. And next is release the offender from all wrong. From our story, verse 27, chapter Matthew 18, 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. We can say that we forgive people all we want to, but until we loose them from this imaginary prison that we're holding them in, until we loose them from that prison, we've really not forgiven them. We can say, I forgive you. All right, let's have a little honesty check, okay? How many of us, I'm going to go way back so it won't incriminate you. All right, so how many of us, whenever we were little, we got in a spat with our brother or sister or cousin or somebody close to our age, and one of your parents brought you together, made you look at each other and say, I'm sorry, and say, I forgive you, right? All right, me. How many times did you say, I'm sorry and I forgive you, and your hands are like this, and you know in your heart you're not. And as soon as mom's out of the room, you better run, right? Now, there's a difference between saying I forgive and releasing the offender from all wrong. We'll talk a little bit more how to do that, but this is what forgiveness is. It's beyond just, okay, I'm sorry. It's not just words, and it's releasing them in your heart. How many of you, you've seen that where, I've done this to people. If you have a bad day, you're stressed out, go through the cabinet, the drawer, find a fork, pick your fork up and hold it upside down so that the tines or the teeth of the fork are pointed like this, and look at somebody else and picture them in jail. I mean, it'll just make your day that much better. They're in jail, you're not. What we're talking about is putting the fork away, releasing them, let them out. They don't have to be in this jail. And now, sometimes they don't even know. Sometimes somebody offends you. You're upset at them. You're not forgiving them. You wake up in the morning mad at them. You go to bed at night mad at them. And you are upset at this person who has offended you. And they don't even know they offended you. And you're keeping them in this jail cell, but they're not in jail. It's this imaginary jail cell in your mind and in your heart. And you're the one really that's in jail. We'll move on. We'll talk about that more in a minute. So, why must I forgive? I've been forgiven. Jesus Christ forgave me. How do I forgive? Make a decision to forgive. Realize Jesus already settled that account. Have compassion on the offender as Christ did when he forgave us, and release the offender from all wrong. These are just some random thoughts about forgiveness. I'm giving them to you quick. Remember, first of all, that justice is God's business. Justice is God's business. I can't see the whole picture. You can't see the whole picture. That's why it's so wise for us to say, God, I was offended. They offended me. I really, though, don't know why. Have you ever been at a restaurant and the server that was there, maybe it's a young lady, maybe 25 to 30, somewhere in that. And maybe she's just kind of short with you. Maybe a little bit grouchy. Have you ever been there and you're thinking, whoa, what's her problem? Wait, stop. And you might think, well, I'm not leaving her a tip. She didn't smile at me. She was mean. Wait a minute. Stop just for a minute. You don't know the whole story. I don't know the whole story. First of all, she's probably got kids at home or somewhere being watched by somebody. She's probably working a second shift job, most likely. She probably really doesn't even want to be there. She'd rather be home. She may even be working during the day, going to school at night, or working at night, going to school during the day. She may have had a bad day. Her husband may have left her. I mean, you just got to understand, we don't see the whole picture. She might have just got yelled at by her boss. She might be in trouble. She might have had to take a cut in pay. We don't know, but we're so judgmental. We're thinking, well, she sure mean today. I'm not giving her much of a tip. Yeah, you're going to help the problem, right? So let's do this. Back up and realize, I don't see the whole picture. Let God be the judge. Justice is God's business. Romans 12, 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I heard this quote a long time ago when I was a kid, and it stuck with me. Hopefully it'll stick with you. Revenge, when you go out for revenge, it's like wrestling with a pig. You both get dirty, and the pig likes it. It's not worth it. Don't worry about that. If somebody offends you, just realize God will bring justice. God will take care of things. I can live my life. I can forgive that person, realizing Christ already forgave me. I can release them. They're not going to be in my prison because I don't want to keep track of all these prisoners. It's just easier that way. Let them out. And I'm not going to wrestle with the pig because I really don't want to get dirty. Pigs like getting dirty. I'm just going to let God take care of that. If we can realize that God's the judge, leave it to Him. Justice is God's business. Our lives will simplify so much. Romans 12, 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let me give you another thought, because we've got to move quick. Forgiveness is an act of the will. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It's a decision. It's something I've got to decide. I've got to make a conscious decision to forgive that person. It's not something that just kind of happens magically over time. Time does have a tendency to heal and help us pass things. But when it comes to forgiveness, if you don't forgive and you just let it just kind of sweep it under the rug, forgiveness is different than other hurts in that it's more like a splinter that you get in your finger or in your hand. And instead of just kind of disappearing, it festers. And it gets infected to the point where it used to not hurt so bad, but now you barely touch any part on your finger and the big swollen finger just throbs with the pain because it's festering in there. Forgiveness is an act of the will. Hebrews 8, 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Two words that I want you to get, I and will. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. Now we switch it around. Will I remember no more? Here's another thought. More thoughts about forgiveness. Pray for those who hurt you. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said this. It was on the Sermon on the Mount. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's not what I want to do. If somebody's despitefully using me and persecuting, prayer, honestly, is the last thing that I want to do unless it's praying that they have a bad day or praying that something, you know, awful happens to them. And that's not the kind of praying we're talking about. It's the thing realizing, first, God forgave me. He settled my debt on the cross. And now I can honestly pray for that person. You know, if you can get to a point where you can pray for somebody, God, would you please bless this person? God, I have compassion on them. I realize they're probably hurting, and God, would you help them? When you can pray for somebody, it's hard to be mad at somebody. It's just something that God does in your heart. Praying for that person may just be the key that you need to release them out of that jail that you're holding them in. Pray for them. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What happens if you don't forgive, though? What happens if you don't forgive? We've got to finish this really quick. First of all, we become bitter. Hebrews 12, 15, the Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. That root of bitterness is a product of not forgiving. We'll become bitter. If you don't forgive, somebody offends you, they were wrong, yes. But if we don't forgive them, whether they want to be forgiven or not, if we just don't forgive them, bitterness will grow. And that bitterness, it springs up like a root. It'll grow, and it'll be one of those weeds that will choke you out. Results of not forgiving, we become bitter. We become tormented. It's interesting that the king, he forgave the first man. This man, he went and didn't forgive the second guy. I don't have names for him, so we'll call him first man and second guy, all right? The second guy gets thrown into jail. All of the first man's friends or acquaintances hear about it, and they go and they tell the king. And what does the king do to the first man, the one that he forgave? Let me read this to you because you might have missed this. He calls him back into him. It's Matthew 18, 33, and he says, "Shouldest not thou have had also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. He was forgiven, but now he's going to be tormented. Then the Bible says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass." And immediately we think, oh no, if I don't forgive somebody, I'm going to hell. I'm going to be tormented in hell. No, that's not what we're talking about. The king forgave him his debt. He doesn't owe that anymore. But now he's being sent to these tormentors. You know, it's easy to become judgmental towards someone who offends you. We're not talking about losing your salvation. But if you will refuse to forgive somebody else, God will deliver you to, the best way to say it is just the tormentors. Kind of like whenever we don't tithe. Let me say it this way. When we do tithe, the Bible says that God will rebuke the devourer. So this devourer that ends up taking all the money or whatever it was that we were supposed to tithe in the first place, this devourer is rebuked by God. And kind of in the same way, if we don't forgive those that have offended us, God says, I'll let you be tormented. What are the tormentors? I believe one of them is bitterness. We mentioned that. Bitterness will lead to your own destruction and the destruction of those around you. It'll cause so much hurt. One of the tormentors, I believe, might be pride. Thinking that I'm better than that person. I'm not going to forgive them. I'm better than that person. When they come to me and ask me to forgive them, then I'll forgive them. But until then, you know, pride will lead you to destruction, just like bitterness leads you to destruction. It just takes a different path. Bitterness takes a path where it's quiet and it destroys you from the inside. Pride will take a path where you visibly fall in front of everybody. Either way, one of these is going to lead you to destruction, these tormentors. Pride goeth before destruction, the Bible says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. One of the tormentors may be loneliness. If you refuse to forgive that person, and later on you refuse to forgive that person, and then that person, and then that person, after a while, you have refused to forgive so many of the people in your life circle that now you are being tormented by loneliness. When you refuse to forgive others, you isolate yourself from fellowship. If we'll simply just forgive, let's think long term. If I forgive today, maybe in a year or so, I'm going to need that person. I'm going to need that friend. I'm going to need that relationship. Let me think about just that long-term effects. Quickly, I'm going to give you some other ones. What happens if we don't forgive? We surrender control to the devil. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Don't give the devil a place in your life to work from. Don't give him a platform to work from. There's another one that helps you understand it so much better. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. I don't believe the whole verse is written in your notes, but let me read it to you. "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I in the person of Christ." Does anybody have any questions what that verse is about? Forgiveness, all right? The very next verse, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." If I refuse to forgive, you know what I'm doing? I'm giving Satan an advantage in my life. I'm giving him a place in my life, and there's enough problems in my life without giving him a place to work from. It's like giving him a command center in my heart where he can work to destroy me from, and that is just from not forgiving. How do I forgive? Practical helps. First of all, forgiveness can be a process. Sometimes you forgive right away, and it's done. Sometimes you forgive and they offend you again. You forgive and they offend you again. And you keep on going. Now, I don't suggest you keep a count until you get to 490 times and then you smack them. No. The idea here is you just keep forgiving them. We mentioned what Peter said to Jesus, and Jesus said, till 70 times 7, don't stop forgiving. Practical helps. Forgiving does not mean you will forget the offense. One of the dumbest statements ever is forgive and forget. This is nearly impossible to do. Do not forgive and forget. Because if you forgive and try to forget, you're going to try so hard to forget that you're not going to forgive. Wow, let's write that one down. Let me give you one that you do need to write down. Here it is. Let me find it. Don't forgive and forget. Forgive and remember that you forgave. That's it right there. You can't forget unless you hit your head on a rock or something, get amnesia, or you're not going to forget it. If somebody offends you, it's done. It's part of your life now. It just happened. But you can forgive them, and whenever it comes up again, no problem. I remember that I forgave that. You know who's going to bring it up? It's either your wife or the devil. One of them. One of them is going to bring it up. No, it's the devil. Every time. Why would he bring it up? He's trying to cause strife in our families. He's trying to cause strife in our life. In fact, the Bible says, let me find this right here because it just fits here so very well. Maybe on my next page here. There it is. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Forgive and remember that you forgave it. Rebuilding a relationship is the next one, is not a condition of forgiveness. They don't have to come to you and get everything right before you forgive them. You forgive them. Let that be the catalyst that begins the process of restoring the relationship. Decide to forgive regardless of what the other person does. I heard a story about a man. He had good manners. He was trained with good manners. He was walking into the store, and he held open the door for a lady that was coming in. Now, she got mad at him, and she said, I don't need any man treating me like a lady. I can do this myself. The man looked at her and said, ma'am, I didn't hold the door for you because you're a lady. I held the door because I'm a gentleman. And it doesn't matter what the other person does. You can forgive regardless of what they do. Don't wait for the restoration of the relationship. Just forgive. Maybe that will help the relationship to be restored. Number four, the evidences that you have forgiven from your heart. I'm going to give them to you real fast. First of all, how do I know that I have forgiven them from my heart? First of all, you don't remind the offender of his offense. You know, I've forgiven you, but remember that time? You know, husbands and wives, we're good at this. It's forgiven, but let me, all right? You just don't remind them. You don't discuss the offense with others. This is a huge one. You know, this what we're hearing right here could save your marriage. Don't discuss it with somebody else. You know, I forgave my wife for this, but whoa, let me tell you what she did. Now, if you want to tell on yourself something you did wrong, for sake of illustration, fine. But not somebody else's mistake. Here's a problem that we make, and we hear it a lot of times. Let's just say it this way. Don't talk with anyone about it that doesn't have the authority to correct it. If I come to somebody here and tell them something about somebody else in the church, and they're not the one to fix it, I'm just spreading gossip. I read somewhere, it's just a couple days ago, gossip is the devil's Facebook, right? So let's just be careful. If somebody else offends you, don't take it to somebody else that can't fix it. Take it to somebody that can fix it, either that person or somebody that's in authority over that person. The evidence that you've forgiven from your heart is you refuse to think about the offense in your mind. Just cast down that imagination. The Bible says in Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Think about that. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. How many times have you heard somebody say this? I love Brother Jones, but then they tell you something that Brother Jones did wrong. We do this all the time. You know, I love him like a brother, but then we say something about that brother that we love so much. Wait a minute. Love worketh no ill. If we've forgiven them, let's just let it go. Or if we love them, why even bring it up? If you loved them, you wouldn't say it. If you've forgiven them, you wouldn't say it. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's refuse to think about those offenses in our mind. God loved us. And even though he loved us so much, we offended him so greatly. I mean, our sins were just enormous. We can't imagine how awful our sins are. But then Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. God forgave us completely. And what he's saying to us as Christians, I forgave you, you forgive others. There's a lot of great reasons to. It'll help you. It'll free you. It'll free you from bondage of trying to hold somebody else in this prison that you've made for them of bitterness. Forgiveness. If there's someone that you need to forgive, do that. Do that. And it may just be this. It may just be in your heart releasing them. Maybe somebody offended you years ago and you just simply need to say, God, I'm going to let you be the judge. Justice belongs to you. I'm simply going to release them. I forgive them. I'll pray for them. God, I'm going to let you work in their heart. Father, I pray that you would use this message tonight. Help us to be people that will forgive. Thank you for your great forgiveness. Lord, I pray that you would help us to forgive.